The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, a big day yesterday when we covered on this program and on our website the new discovery there in Jerusalem, Dr. Elat Mazar's latest, the Isaiah Bulla, and of course there were quite a few other news sources, in case you didn't notice, that picked up the story throughout the day. Some of the Israeli publications even embedded our video into their articles. And then a nice, although we weren't referenced, there was a nice piece at Fox News this morning about the Bulla and about some other things that have been discovered in recent years. A really positive coverage of this this story. So it's exciting to see that. It's exciting to see the picture of that Bulla that's in all of these articles. Something that that we saw, of course, a couple of months ago, and so now to see it getting the international attention that it deserves, that's quite exciting. And Brad McDonald, in case you didn't notice, he had a really nice trumpet brief last night, just about his visit. He's in Jerusalem at the moment, along with our beloved producer Sam Livingston, and they're getting a lot done. And hoping to develop some other projects about Dr. Mazar's work in the weeks and months ahead. But as he wrote in his trumpet brief, Dr. Mazar really does have a love for archaeology, and you can see it when you talk to her. You can see it in just the way she is so dedicated to the dig site and to the volunteers that we send over to assist her. So it's just a wonderful association to have, a wonderful relationship, partnership, as she's called it so many times. So again, if you haven't seen the article and now the trumpet brief, and there's an extra video that was taped yesterday, and then, of course, the full-length mini-documentary, I guess you could call it, 11, 12 minutes in length, just about the story. You can get all of that at thetrumpet.com website. And speaking of the website, of course, you can get to my father's new television program this week or this weekend, Daniel 8 and verse 12, A Dual Prophecy. That'll be posted today if it hasn't been already. I think I've got a new program up there for the weekend as well on the new 21st century morality, I think it's called. It's one in which we advertise the Ezekiel booklet and also the missing dimension in sex. So hopefully both of those new videos will be up over the weekend, and you can take a look at those at thetrumpet.com. My father's, by the way, talks about the mass shooting, which we've commented on here and there over the last week, the shooting in South Florida, and just why this world is becoming more and more violent. He goes through that prophecy in Daniel 8 and talks about the duality of that particular prophecy. So make sure that you look at that program and at thetrumpet.com throughout the weekend. Well, speaking of that mass shooting, quite a few headlines yesterday regarding this this young man that accused CNN of wanting to script everything. And it's a so-called town hall meeting on Wednesday night, which was more like an activist rally, as I covered with you yesterday. But this high school senior, I think he's a senior, maybe a junior, he came forward saying that first they asked him to write an essay that he could read on that live broadcast. And then later they came back and said, well, actually just put together a couple of questions that you'd like to ask. And then they took his questions and revised that and basically handed it back to him, saying, this is what we would like for you to ask. So it's this young man who's a member of the ROTC and obviously thinks a little bit differently than so many of the other youths that have been put on display But it's this man's word now against CNN, and CNN's taking quite a lot of heat, particularly from those on the right, saying that, you know, in a lot of ways, it's now worse than MSNBC, because it's trying to put itself out there as if it's kind of the middle of the road. I mean, CNN's what you see in just about every airport in the United States. It has a monopoly on that coverage in just about every airport because, again, it considers itself, well, you've got Fox on the one hand, and you've got MSNBC on the other hand, and we're somewhere down the middle. When in fact they're exposing themselves as nakedly biased, particularly following this this horrific mass shooting. If you scratch beneath the surface, if you just brush aside the gun control debate for a moment, I mean there are some big headlines following this this tragedy. Yesterday it was reported, I think this was last night, that there was actually a police officer on guard at this high school. He was armed with a weapon, a firearm, at the time that this mass shooter was going on throughout the school killing people. The shooting went on for something like 6 minutes, and this sheriff's deputy was outside with the weapon for 4 of those minutes, just standing there, or waiting for the rampage to end. This is from Fox News yesterday. It says, Peterson, according to the sheriff, was absolutely on campus through the entire event. The deputy was armed and in uniform during the shooting, but never entered the building, despite clearly knowing a shooting was happening. That's according to the sheriff. The sheriff said he believes Peterson remained outside the building for roughly 4 minutes, while the shooting in total lasted around 6 minutes. Israel, that's the sheriff, said the officer never fired his weapon. And then the sheriff went on to tell reporters yesterday that he was just devastated, sick to his stomach, at the inaction on the part of his deputy. It says, when asked about what law enforcement agencies entered the building first and at what time, Israel said that it doesn't matter who went in first or what order you went in. What matters is that when we in law enforcement arrive at an active shooter, we go in and address the target, the sheriff said, and that's what should have been done. Peterson, that's the deputy, according to Israel, should have went in, addressed the killer, kill the killer. But nobody confronted him, even one who was on the grounds with a weapon. In hearing this yesterday, again, it just made me think back to this exchange at the town hall the night before. This same sheriff, Scott Israel, he was debating basically with the NRA representative, Dana Loesch, who was there and penned him down pretty much on all of these red flags that were ignored. I'll come to that exchange here in just a second, but let me just set it up. Again, this is from Wednesday night, the pep rally, we could call it, for gun control that CNN sponsored. And this here is the sheriff talking about how much more power, really, law enforcement needs to stop these kinds of killers. Here's clip one.
And I come here tonight with 39 years in law enforcement. I've Baker-acted people. I've taken weapons from people. The men and women I've worked with for almost 40 years. We know how to keep America safe. Number one, we have to take weapons out of the hands of people that suffer from mental illness. We have to expand the Baker Act. We have to be able, when police encounter someone, Emma, when police encounter someone who is going through a mental illness, we don't only have to wait, well, we shouldn't have to wait until they are a danger to themselves or someone else. We should be able to take them to an institution that's going to examine them and take weapons away from them right then and there at that time.
And Sheriff.
So this is someone who agreed quite a lot with what so many of those students were saying. and calling upon the federal government to give more power to law enforcement agencies so that they can, as he said there, take these kinds of killers off the streets before they massacre people, a school. Notice further what he said. This is clip two.
We have to start, number one, following up on red flags. 39 times in the past year, it was law enforcement or it was social services that went to this individual's home. Now, there are two Florida statutes. One of them, I don't know if the comment that he had put on YouTube would have qualified for you to Baker Act him, but sending messages telling other students that he was going to murder them and he was going to kill them, I would think certainly would qualify under a Florida state statute for you to have Baker Acted him.
Before, let me respond to that. First of all, we've talked about the Broward Sheriff's Office and some other local agencies and the FBI getting tips and what have you. America, there's one person responsible for this act. That's the detestable, violent killer. He is responsible for this act. Nobody else but him.
Okay, so that was obviously the NRA spokeslady at first, Dana Loesch. She's, it's getting a little bit heated. She's saying you missed all of these red flags 39 times in the past few years. 39 times? And you couldn't pull this guy off the streets? And so when it gets a little bit hot for the sheriff, he then says, well, look, what we need here is more power. He says, look, the only guy who's responsible for this atrocity is the killer. He then talked about how schools today need to be built differently, and he says we need gun control reform. He said an 18-year-old kid shouldn't have a rifle. They're not adults. He said 18-year-olds are not adults, which in any other forum, that wouldn't fly. But in this one, I guess CNN is there just nodding its head. And then, well, we, the police, we need more power. If we're going to be able to stop these kinds of lunatics, these crazed lunatics. Now, listen to this exchange, because again, here is the NRA representative saying she's just telling the sheriff what's been reported in the local media about all of the red flags that were either missed or ignored. Listen to this. This is clip three.
What I'm asking the lawmakers to give police all over this country is more power. In Florida, we call it a Baker Act. It allows us to take an individual to be against their will, involuntarily, to go to a mental health facility and be treated. What I'm saying is if a police officer that we pay a good salary to keep us safe feels that the totality of circumstances, the computer, the bedroom, the pictures, the photographs, speaking to the friends, if we feel the totality of the circumstances rises to the level where we're concerned this person might be mentally ill, we need the power to take every firearm they have away from them and bring them to a mental health facility.
39 visits did not meet that standard? 39 visits, assaulting students, assaulting parents, taking bullets and knives to school. Did that not meet that standard?
Well, which are you speaking about specifically? You seem to know about all 39.
Well, I know there's one Florida statute where if he's sending messages threatening, if he's sending messages threatening to kill people, that right there under Florida state law.
Who did he send the message to kill people to?
BuzzFeed, AP, Reuters, Yahoo News, reported that was to other students.
Who is the victim?
It was sent to other students.
Dana, Reuters can't be a victim. The only person who could be a victim is an individual.
Sheriff, if an
individual was threatened and it was real, that's a crime. But if he's posting things...
They were threatened with death. They were threatened that they were going to bleed. They were threatened that they were going to be killed.
Well, what's your specific case?
And he had already taken bullets and knives to school. He had already assaulted people. He assaulted his parent. He assaulted other students. 39 visits. And this was known to the intelligence and law enforcement community. I'm not saying that you can be everywhere at once, but this is what I'm talking about. We have to follow up on these red flags.
You're not the litmus test.
Doesn't that meet the standard?
You're absolutely not the litmus test for how law enforcement should follow up. You're wrong. There weren't 39 visits. So Some of them, they were GOA. Some of them called from other states. To say there were 39 visits, I don't know where you got those facts, but you're completely wrong.
Did they report it inaccurately?
They reported.
She got it from the media, like the rest of us. And now the sheriff's backtracking, saying that, well, you're wrong, or the reporting wasn't right. And then he asked her, you heard it. What's your specific case? You're not the litmus test. And all she's pointing out is that report after report after report had this guy taking weapons to school, threatening to kill people. They had, according to current law, and this is the point I've been stressing over the past week, the laws that are already there, if they were obeyed, the police had all the power that they needed to lock up this monster. And now, this was Wednesday night. Now, as of yesterday, we learned that there was actually firepower at the school. The time of the attack, an armed deputy. A deputy that, as the sheriff said in that town hall, we pay good money to keep us safe. It's pretty amazing, all of this. And the big scandal or the debate over the last week is about whether or not 18-year-olds should be able to buy AR-15s. The big scandal following this mass shooting is the behavior of the NRA or Marco Rubio. It's amazing to me. For the past 8 years before Donald Trump came along, the major media attacked local law enforcement time and time and time again for what in these other cases the media viewed as excessive force. You think of Darren Wilson shooting a black man in self-defense. That was racist on the part of Mr. Wilson. He had to be run out of his job. And now you come to the other extreme here. You have local and, you add the FBI to this, you have local and federal law enforcement agencies failing to act, failing to use any force before, during, and even after this national tragedy. And we're supposed to believe that the NRA is the problem here. It's astounding. I've gone through the calling evil good and good evil. There's lots of scandalous behavior that this mass shooting has exposed. And a lot of it has to do with law enforcement, sad to say. They've come under fire from so many directions over the past decade. And we've been pretty quick to defend them in most every case on this program and at the trumpet.com. My father, remember, a couple of years ago had that article about the war against law enforcement or the war against police. But here now, I mean, because of CNN's agenda, because of the major media's agenda, Now law enforcement can do no wrong. Now they did everything by the book. Now, well, they couldn't really intervene because no crime had been committed. Here was a guy bringing weapons to school and threatening people. He was beating up people. He was attacking his parents. There was plenty of power there. There are plenty of laws already on the book. Like the Baker Act, as you heard there. Something could have been done, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. Unless, of course, the media in all of these cases about the visits and the following this guy's violent behavior online or wherever. If these are all lies. But multiple witnesses coming forward. Knowing that this young man was a ticking time bomb. What does it say about the United States? And the things that are the hot button issues following a tragedy like this, when you can't even really deal with or address the facts and make decisions based upon the facts and learn from errors and mistakes. You would just think, too, going back to what I discussed a couple weeks ago, that you'd think there'd be a little more humility from the people in positions of authority, particularly when they're presiding over the local police or the FBI division or whatever it is. Okay, so you've had 39 years of experience and you know how to keep America safe. And we get paid good money to keep America safe. Well, here was a case where there was a total breakdown. And it's the local law enforcement, sadly. There was a policeman on the scene, and he didn't use his firearm when he should have. As I say, it's a tragedy that's just, it just gets worse by the day. And then Richard gives me this piece this morning. Russian trolls have a pattern for riling up Americans on guns. Here are all these Russians again on Twitter and Facebook. This from McClatchy. It says, an organization that monitors Russian trolling has spotted a peculiar similarity between certain types of social media postings that went up immediately after the October 1 Las Vegas shooting, and then now the one at Parkland. The pattern, it says, a day after the tragedy, the trolls tweet on all sides of the gun control debate. A day later, they push conspiracy theories. It's a formula designed to stir up emotions over mass violence and gun laws, and more broadly, to foment anger and exasperation over the U.S. political system. I mean, we're just seeing the United States, it's unraveling before our eyes. The respect for law enforcement, the respect for government, the politicization of law enforcement and government agencies, and just the bitter division between both sides. And America's enemies quite happy to foment that hatred and that division. McClatchy says, the purpose is to stoke tensions, said Brett Schaefer of the Alliance for Securing Democracy, which is financing researchers following 600 or so Twitter accounts suspected of being operated by Russian trolls, pro-Kremlin mouthpieces aiming to encourage discord in the United States. And what did Kislyak say during that Munich security conference? When the American rep, I forget his name, but he pinned him down on the their meddling in elections in the West. Kislyak just said, hey, you've got your divisions. Don't reel us into that. You take care of your own problems, and then we'll be there if you want to have some dialogue. I mean, they're gloating. They're behind the scenes, they're working to cause more division themselves. And then laughing, no doubt, at this astonishing fall from power. Go back and look at some of the things we've been writing or that we've written over the years. There's a section in the He Was Right booklet. The communist infiltration of America was prophesied. I mean, that takes you back to things Herbert Armstrong was writing back in the 1950s. The communist infiltration. More recent than that, my father wrote in the Great Again book, Chapter 3, The Origins of America's Dangerous Turn Left. This is beyond just a Democratic Party. This is a communist infiltration or a Marxist infiltration that we're talking about. My father writes in the Great Again, he says, in the early years of the Cold War, educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote quite a lot about communism. We need to understand why he was so deeply concerned. Then he quotes something that Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1962. The Communist Party is merely a trick term to pull the wool over our eyes and deceive us, a means of getting a fifth column into our midst, of getting the enemy's government into our very midst, leading us to accept it as part of our government. Its only object is to destroy our government. Mr. Armstrong said, that's a basic truth. The communist movement in America has only one object, to destroy America's government. You think they've had much success in bringing down the United States? It says further on, Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1956 about communists perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. All this, it says, clearly disguised as a harmless political party, communism is a worldwide psychological warfare. He says communists first corrupt, pollute, and agitate from within. But their final phase is a violent overthrow of the government. He says finally they aim to destroy the system because they can't build another one until that happens. Communist infiltration, an attack from within, as my father said, I mean, we're looking at this right in the face. We're staring at it in the face. We're seeing the country, the United States of America, unravel before our eyes. And of course, behind even all of this, the communist infiltration or a Republican or Democrat party or this rise of the youth movement or just the increase, as my father covers on the program this weekend, the increase in violence, these mass shootings, the racial strife, the division. You look at the core cause of it all, and you've got to go back to Revelation 12 and the fact that Satan has been cast down along with his demons, and they're confined to this earth. They're confined to this earth and the United States. They see the U.S. as the primary target. Bring down the United States of America. And it's happening fast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. Don't forget to visit our website at thetrumpet.com. Every day, thetrumpet.com will help you understand your world by analyzing today's headlines under the clear light of Bible prophecy. log on to thetrumpet.com and sign up for our daily Trumpet Brief email and subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. The Trumpet Daily.
On yesterday's program, I referred you to Chapter 10 of The Missing Dimension in Sex, this passage where Herbert Armstrong talked about those who speak of the dignity of man without really understanding what that's all about. The potential of man, that's where the dignity is. The incredible human potential. He said most men who prate around in their vanity about the dignity of man little comprehend the real meaning of those words. They just don't understand it. If we want to talk about how sacred human life, human existence is, we've got to get back to what God says about his creation and why he brought man into existence in the first place. In Psalm 8, David asked, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" I mean, why should God be so interested in human beings? "For you made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor." You talk about dignity, crowning man with glory and honor for a little while lower than the angels. Well, what could that mean? For a little while? Could our calling be, could our exalted calling really be something that's even above the angels? It says in verse 6, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." And then he continues saying, verse 7, "All sheep and oxen." Verse 8, "Fowl of the air." And so he limits here, David does, man's domain to this present world, this earth. But then if you go over to Hebrews chapter 2, I mean, you see it expands this vision to actually fill the whole universe. This is Paul writing in Hebrews 2, where he's paraphrasing or quoting from Psalm 8, which we just read from. Mr. Armstrong said in that chapter in Missing Dimension, "The whole answer to David's question was not given in the Old Testament. It's revealed in the New, but the religious leaders of man have never caught the overwhelming truth. To minds hostile to God's authority, it would seem too incredible to accept. So they read right over the glorious revelation of the true potential dignity of man." They read right over this. David asked this all-important question, and God answers. And the religious teachers of today, they read right over it, this glorious revelation. Hebrews 2 here, verse 5, it says, "For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him?" So, same questions. He's quoting from Psalm 8, Paul is. And then verse 7, "You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things," Moffat translation says, "the universe." God has put the universe in subjection under his feet, man's feet. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." So it's not yet happened. We haven't yet been given jurisdiction over the whole universe, all things. What could this mean? Verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him," verse 9, or verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we haven't yet been given all things, but what do we now see? Well, we see Jesus Christ. He was made for a little while. He was made lower than the angels, but now he's crowned with glory and honor. I mean, following his sacrifice, suffering of death, he's crowned with glory and honor. He's sitting at the right hand of God. It's prophesied that he's to return to this earth as the king over all nations. And who's going to be there with him, assisting him as his bride, as his helpmeet? What could all of this mean? You talk about the glorious revelation of the true potential dignity of man. Look now over in John 3, the Gospel of John. This is the exchange between Nicodemus, this leading Pharisee of his day, Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. What could this passage mean? John 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles or these miracles that you do except God be with him. So they knew all about, these Pharisees knew about the prophecies regarding the coming Messiah. But like Mr. Armstrong explains in Mystery of the Ages, they only understood one messianic appearance. They did not comprehend a second appearance after a spiritual birth into God's family. They could not grasp that. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is speaking of two different births. There's the physical fleshly birth, and that physical flesh and blood birth does not allow for one to see the kingdom. It takes the spiritual birth in order for us to see the kingdom of God, to experience the kingdom of God. You can study further into 1 Corinthians 15 as well about that spiritual birth and the kingdom of God, the latter part of that chapter in particular. But here in verse 4, it says, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water and spirit. I mean, water baptism begins the birthing process. You can compare it to the begettal stage, conception. That first moment of life, in the physical sense, I mean, it starts in the womb. If you have that ovum fertilized by the male sperm, then there's life there. And then all of this rapid growth, and it takes you right through to the birth, 40 weeks or so later. It starts at baptism and then just projecting forward spiritually. It results in a literal birth, a spiritual birth, into God's family. Notice verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Note the word is. You know what it means to be born of the flesh. You are flesh. You have a flesh and blood baby. And if you are born of the spirit, not begotten. If you're born of the Spirit, you are Spirit. So much to take away from even physical reproduction, human reproduction. It's a type of salvation. It begins in the smallest of ways. God giving you that little down payment of that spiritual inheritance. He gives you his Holy Spirit at baptism after the laying on of hands. And that's the down payment, as Ephesians 1 says. It's the earnest of your incredible future. It's the earnest of this true potential dignity of man. Look now at Hebrews chapter 1, just a few more verses here. Hebrews chapter 1, a few more verses. We'll conclude our study and then finish today's show with a few emails that have come in over the past week or so. Hebrews chapter 1, again, taking us back to Paul's writing here in the book of Hebrews. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, the same all things that you read about in chapter 2, the universe. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So he laid down his life in sacrifice and then was resurrected to spirit 3 days, 3 nights later. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And soon he returns to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In chapter 10 of The Missing Dimension in Sex, I read part of this yesterday, but it says, yes, Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, is now on the very throne that governs the entire universe. He now controls every power, every force, every energy that exists, and he has merely pioneered the way. If we yield to God and his government, may, through Christ, be reconciled to the great God and become co-heirs with Christ to inherit, after our resurrection, everything he already has inherited. Heirs together with Christ. Read Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. To inherit everything he's already inherited. Mr. Armstrong says, that is the true potential dignity of man. And he says this then, which I read yesterday. He says, truly, most men who prate around in their vanity about the dignity of man little comprehend the real meaning of those words. Man must first turn around and go the other way. He must repent, for he's been traveling in the wrong direction. He must go God's way. He must first qualify before God will entrust him with the government of the universe. This is what man needs, to turn back to God, to repent. To repent for traveling in the wrong direction. These atrocities, so many of them, and they're happening with greater frequency. You would think it would humble our people to turn to God. God is left out. And it's not even now that he's ignored. People are now speaking up saying, don't tell me about God and prayer. We need action. We need legislation. Don't bring up the subject of God. So now there's just this overt disdain for God and the laws of God. And all we have left to save us, we think, well, if you're on one side, it's guns or weapons. If you're on the other side, it's politics or legislation or bans. And if you're on the outside, you're stirring up division and strife, America's enemies. You think our enemies are going to come to our defense? When it all bottoms out, when the economy collapses, and we have racial unrest, division and strife all throughout our big cities. Only God can save us. Only true repentance can bring us back to where we need to be. The potential dignity of man, glorious revelation, Mr. Armstrong called it. In our class, Principles of Living, we frequently refer to that Psalm 139:14, where it talks about how fearfully and wonderfully we're made. Marvelous are the works of God. It really is marvelous. It really is wonderful when you consider the incredible human potential. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And when we come back, we'll conclude today's show with some email feedback. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Untold thousands of professing Christian ministers have, over the centuries, preached Christ. They have professed to be his ministers, to represent him. They have said Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, but they have withheld Christ's gospel. Thus, the vast majority of people on earth have been deceived by false gospels. The incredible human potential reveals how men were deceived about the truth of the gospel, and it makes plain what the good news of the true gospel really is. The true gospel of God's coming kingdom is directly concerned with world conditions as they are, with human nature, its source and origin, with world evils, suffering, unhappiness, with world peace. It's concerned with government, with the reason present human governments fail to be the benefactors of their peoples they are supposed to be. This all-important subject is thoroughly explained in Herbert Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential. Request The Incredible Human Potential today. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily. A
few emails that have come in over the past week or so. This one here says, I work in the transportation department of the school system with special needs students. Unruly behavior, outburst, and aggressiveness has increased throughout the year. More and more when I ask a student why such and such behavior happened, they answer with a blank face. I don't know. And I believe them. The devil has come down to us with great wrath. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. It says, thank you for your many excellent articles. This one here following the trumpet brief, I believe this was Brad McDonald on the Winter Olympics. Fantastic article on the Winter Olympics and the tyranny behind these two countries. Maybe it's a good thing I'm not watching the Winter Olympics this year. Well, if you're going to watch a clip, as I played the other day, make sure it's that Super G slalom victory, the 43rd ranked skier that miraculously won, some would say. It was so unexpected that NBC had cut away to other competitions and had basically announced that the winner had already won, even though there were something like 20 skiers left, and one of them shocked the world. This one here, yes, we're at the end of the age. Satan knows he has but a short time. He hates human beings. That's why the killings, trying to destroy as many human beings as he can. But God is in control, it says. Thank you for the newsletter. Another one here says, are you following the Munich Security Conference? We did, actually, and had a couple of programs on that this past week. But it says, everything the Trumpet has shared about Europe, the Middle East, Asia, about Bible prophecy and current world events, situations, is real. It's all happening so fast. I'm so anxious to see what the Trumpet will share about this conference and Bible prophecy. Well, that's from New Guinea. And hopefully by now that particular reader, in this case, it was a response to a Trumpet brief. But hopefully that reader has been able to listen to the Trumpet Daily Show from Tuesday and Wednesday, both of those shows from this past week. I forget the titles off the top of my head, but the two shows from earlier in the week would really catch you up on, I think, everything that you need to know about that conference. This one here says, I woke up and sat down with my cup of coffee the other day, proceeded to turn on our local news program to hear these Parkland students. We don't want your thoughts and prayers. We want change. Without God's help, it's only going to get worse, this reader says. But she's quoting what the students are saying. Here again, we don't want your thoughts and prayers. We want action. We want change. We want new laws. We want gun control. Well, as this reader says, it's only going to worsen in the weeks and months ahead unless we turn to God, as I said in that past or last segment. Another one here, this in response to Richard Palmer's trumpet brief from Monday. That's the one where he talked about the Munich Security Conference and the program that we were going to do on the subject the next day. It says, thank you for this. I'll be sure to listen to tomorrow's episode. I like the way it was introduced a day early in the trumpet brief. I think that's a great idea. I personally have been quite busy, and I missed all the Trumpet Daily programs last week. It's helpful to have our attention drawn to the ones that will discuss the heaviest of current prophetic events. I know my wife often says the same thing. She loves it when we plug our own material and give you some direction on what to go and see at the website. So we'll try to do that more. In fact, I do have a team of workers that really work hard to keep a lot of things on my desk that I can look at and go through, and they help even with preparation on some of these segments and some of these ideas that are good ideas. It is a challenge to keep up with it consistently just because each day is packed with so much to do. It's all we can do sometimes to just get everything together and go with it on the fly. But as I said even the other day, we do want to try to establish more consistent subjects or departments each and every week so that we can hopefully get more of the segments planned in advance, if at all possible. But that was a good idea that Richard and I discussed on him, just since we didn't have time to get everything together for a Monday show. We thought, well, if he could summarize a few of the key things that we were working on, then we could come around to it on Tuesday's show. So we appreciate that feedback, and we'll work to try to do that more often, at least on this end. I know at the headquarters campus, they don't always know all the little details of what we're immersed into over here at Edstone, but here at Edstone with Richard and, of course, Brad McDonald chimes in a fair bit as well, and then me working along with these helpers. Hopefully we can just give you more of a heads up here and there as to what's coming up on these programs. This one here says, thanks again for the truth and real world news not found in any other publication. Another one here says, your observation is correct. In fact, I'm monitoring your prophecies slowly unfolding. Time is running out. Another short and succinct one says, thank you for keeping me aware of what's going on in the world. This one here says, it is an excellent program. I'm not sure what program it's referring to there. But here again, it says, thanks for putting the events in Germany into a distinct and understandable form. People like, I really need this type of writing. Well, then it goes on and gives a little bit of speculation here. Another one here says, keep up this good and necessary work. I began watching Mr. Armstrong as an adolescent. I'm now 77 years old, and I've followed and contributed to his and now your organization ever since. Please send me the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. Another one here says, grateful for fulfilled prophecy. I'll be most grateful. to have Jesus Christ return. We definitely have extensive training for the future. And then lastly, it says, again, very, very succinctly, excellent, well-written, and all true. So some good feedback there coming in response to the trumpet briefs and also to these programs. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, don't forget to send us a comment at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us this week. And we'll see you next week.